Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. She is joined by producer Mike Clark. This dynamic, sometimes crazy, sometimes funny, and always entertaining duo will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better. You're listening to Raw Talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Welcome back. I am so excited to be in the studio with one of my favorite people.
That would be me, right?
Well, that's a given. As is Emily.
Hi.
Emily's back with us today. And our guest, Barbara Landry. So Barbara has been one of my new favorite people in my life over the last several years. And to give you a quick wrap on her, say hi, Barbara.
Hello.
Yay. She used to be a family law attorney. She did that for 26 years, and then she decided she wanted to play a little bit more in her life. And now she's not just a yoga teacher or an interfaith minister. She also is a recovery coach and a life coach, and she specializes in divorce. And I can tell you, this woman changes lives, and she has fun while she does it. It's pretty amazing. So, Mike, can you believe it? I'm going to ask you a question.
That's a shocker.
I know. Okay. So if you were to describe your average day, it could be yesterday or your average day, and give us a timeline of the day, but you can only use the words work, play, and nap. What would your day be like?
Okay. A timeline. So when I wake up, then, mm-hmm. Well, I guess that would be play, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
then,
not work.
Then it's work in the morning. Then midday, I'm working again because I go teach school. Then I come back, I do more post-work usually. And then I have a night session, so I work.
That was play, work.
Yeah. That's then, it's back to bed after that.
Okay, Emily, yeah, what would your average day be?
Okay, well, my boss is in the room, so that makes the question a little loaded.
Wait, do you think I value you saying work over having play?
No, okay, I'll be
okay,
honest.
See?
Play, work, nap, work, play.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah. You play that much?
You know, my job is really fun.
So you consider your work play then?
True.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say something like play, work, work, nap, work, play.
See, I guess it all depends on what you think. I mean, a lot of people think their work is play, I guess, if you really enjoy your job. I love my job, but it's really hard work, actually.
So. Well, and I think if we can use all of those words in our life, we're probably more balanced.
Yeah.
But this idea of play, Barbara, we had some amazing conversations which led us to want to give a workshop and an ongoing conversation about play. What does it mean to you?
I think what play means to me is the way that you choose to see the experience that you're having in your life. There's this wonderful quote, and I think it absolutely echoes what everybody's just been saying. And it's attributed to a Zen Buddhist master. And the master in the art of living makes little distinction between his work and his play, his labor and his leisure, his mind and his body, his education and his recreation, his love and his religion. He hardly knows which is which. He simply pursues his vision of excellence at whatever he does, leaving others to decide whether he is working or playing. To him, he is always doing both.
I think Barbara just called me a Zen master.
Yes, exactly, Emily. I'm glad you caught that. So it doesn't matter what we're doing as much as it matters how we are perceiving and experience the doing of it. So we can be playing all the time if we choose to experience it that way.
I think about the team at my office right now. We call it the team at SCC, and we have a really playful team right now. And our day frequently consists of high fives, or we can instant message in our system, instant messages that just say, great job, or just some type of playfulness that's not necessarily a distraction, and it's certainly not inappropriate, but there's a lightness about what we're doing. And I think play for me oftentimes is seeing humor or silliness, and sometimes it's actual like physicality. You know, it's giving a hug, giving a high five, giving a tap on the shoulder. You know, little kids will come into the office and I'll purposely play hide and go seek with them. Teenagers, after I adjust them, I'll take the face paper and I'll just throw it at them and laugh, and then they'll throw it back, and then there's, you know, we call it snowball fights. It's making it fun.
So I have more of a distinction between work and play than, to me, play would be like Sunday I'm going to the beach and I, you know, I'll run up and down the beach, mm-hmm. maybe clothed or not, but but that's play to me. You
thank
know
heaven
I mean?
That's play like to you.
Work, you know, this is work. I really have to focus. You know, it's, you know, I work my brain like intense doing this, you know, doing this job.
Well, and I
so
suppose
it's not play.
It's possible. And I don't think that the goal is that we never have moments of intense focus or seriousness.
Right.
Because certainly what I do can be very serious and very focused. I think it's allowing a lightness of thought.
Right. That's, yeah.
An enjoyment, even in what may be considered as a stressful situation. Would you agree with that, Barbara?
I do. And I also think it's a matter of keeping things in perspective. You know, we take everything so seriously, and sometimes we're so wrapped up in details and deadlines and feeling pressure that we lose sight of the bigger picture. And again, I think it goes back to, how do you want to experience your life? How do you want to experience other people and your time? And in one moment, we can totally change what feels very stressful to something much lighter, as you say, a lightness of being, by just choosing to get perspective. Say, you know, in a day, what's really going to matter? In a week, and in the bigger picture, because this is a temporary experience we're all having, you know, and in the end, you know, we're not going to be here very long. And I don't say that to sound melodramatic, but it's a matter of perspective.
I agree. I have a good friend who's currently in the hospital undergoing some tests. She's 5 weeks pregnant and having some symptoms that could be very concerning. And, you know, I know that it would not be unusual for someone to be really scared and dramatic and, you know, posting on Facebook, and it's very negative and there's concern. And, you know, of course, that's kind of what we would do. And here is my friend who is just staying very light about this. You know, they're going to do some tasks, and she's telling me her experience, but yet she's sending me cute little emoticons and laughing about how funny her nurses are being. And she's really taking this all in stride with a lightness, because it is what it is, and it will be what it is, and she'll be in it whether she chooses to be miserable or to have fun. And she's right. Actually
it
appears,
would be easy to be an Eeyore in that situation.
It would,
that's for sure.
But she's making a choice to keep it as light as she can.
Exactly. And I think you hit the nail on the head with the idea of choice, and that goes to the whole concept of reality. You know, what is reality? And reality can be whatever we decide we want it to be. And this gets into that whole body of work about thoughts becoming things and how we shape our own reality by how we choose to see things. There's a wonderful story about, I believe his name was Norman Cousins. And he was a very famous, I think he was a professor. He may have also been some kind of a scientist. And he was diagnosed with a serious illness and decided to leave the hospital, checked into a hotel room, and just sat and watched funny movies.
Yes.
And basically laughed his way back to health.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a wonderful science. I mean, we can talk about this and it sounds very, you know, philosophical. And some people may think it's kind of, you know,
unreachable.
But there's a whole science behind this too, which is really exciting. And that is, when you laugh, when you're having fun, there is a beneficial physiological response that occurs in very significant ways.
I mean, serotonin is released in the brain. It's the happiness hormone.
That's absolutely right. It affects your blood pressure. When you laugh, you release these frontline killer immune
cytokines.
Yes. And mm-hmm. that enhanced effect lasts for hours after you've stopped laughing.
Which is why someone could heal themselves from an illness through laughter. It's the actual scientific basis of it. You're
yes.
right. You're right. And if you've ever been in a very, very heavy moment, stressful situation, to the point where you know in that moment you could either laugh or cry, and for some reason the point gets tipped towards laughter, someone just falls down all of a sudden or says something funny, and then all of a sudden this moment is released through laughter, and then everyone feels better.
Yes.
I mean, we've had those moments.
My mom used to get so stressed out before I did gymnastics meets. She would just sit there laughing, and I could not for the life of me understand why. She was far more stressed out than I was.
So it is a release valve, just like sometimes we need to cry. Sometimes we need to laugh. So when we look for ways to laugh and to find lightness, it's amazing how much we can feel better.
I think it's also part of our innate being. I mean, we can really learn a lot just from watching animals. If you're sitting looking out your window, you'll see squirrels and birds playing. And just think about when we were all younger, when we were kids, play and laughter came so naturally. So it's part of who we are.
But yet it's interesting in how our culture really is more honoring of competition. Even what may be something that should be enjoyable, say a sport, at a young age, you'll find that this pressure is put on children to win.
I think the kids are so stressed out
versus
now. I work
enjoying
at three
it.
Different high schools, and the kids seem stressed out to me.
Yeah.
You know, they're expected to overachieve. I don't know if it's just the schools I work at, but.
Right. There's less honor in enjoying
like they're not
something.
Having fun, you know?
I already have all the competitions planned for tonight when I babysit, so I'm going to win.
Good for you, Emily.
But there is a culture.
At any cost?
How old is he, like five?
Five.
Yeah, there you go.
But there is a cultural stigma for competition and winning and success versus just the enjoyment of what we're doing, which I find really interesting.
Well, that goes to the whole issue of creativity in and of itself. And ironically, we create much better when we are relaxed, when we rest and open up a space for creativity to flow in. In fact, Albert Einstein, I understand, was a daydreamer when he was a kid and in school, and he was constantly getting criticized by his teachers for staring out the window daydreaming. Yet he was open to creativity, and look at all that he received. So we try way too hard because we can accomplish all that we want to accomplish probably in a much more certainly enjoyable and productive way if we would relax more and be open more and not try so hard. So it's kind of ironic.
And that's the first step in opening ourselves up to more play. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to hear more, Barbara, about how we can infuse our life with more play.
You're listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. If you're in the Southern New Hampshire area, you can schedule a health consultation and examination with Dr. Jenny. To schedule, call 673-5600. That's 673-5600. For more information about Spinal Corrective Center, go to www.spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 673-5600. To find a chiropractor in your area, go to www.chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now back to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it.
We're back, and we're talking with Barbara Landry about play. You know, it was about 20 years ago, and I was finishing up my graduate degree. I was getting my doctorate in chiropractic, and there were some pretty intense studying and test-taking sessions going on. We had national boards. It felt like all I was doing was studying and working. I remember stopping by my parents' house and my mom saying, "You look so stressed out." And I remember saying, "I just need to stop and do something else." And she said, "Well, we have plans tonight, but, you know, is there something I can get you? Is there something I can do?" And she left the room and she came back with my old box of crayons and coloring books. And she jokingly said, "Well, all I know is when you were little, you did this for hours and it made you so happy." And she walked out of the room and left this box on the table. And at first I'm like, that is the stupidest thing ever. And I'm looking at the box and I'm like, oh, I remember that one. I'm looking through. And before you know it, I think I colored for 2 hours.
Did you really?
I did. I just got lost in it. And it wasn't about creating something. I wasn't going to put it up on the refrigerator.
You still can't stay in the line. So
yeah, I mean, I think it's taken me seriously 20 years to even tell someone I did this. But yet in that moment, I just needed to stop and do something, I guess for me was meditative at the time. And it felt creative. And it got me away from this, I have to create something, do something, be something. I just was enjoying myself. And I think what happens is when we look at children playing, even as adults now, we think of it as preparation work for being an adult.
Right.
They're learning how to be an adult and work through play. It's not true. It's a biological entity of being. And that is why maybe when we see quite older adults, as they have gone past their level of work in their life, they start to be more childlike. I want to tap into that.
Absolutely. First of all, I would say that staying in the lines is way overrated. And this is all about going outside the lines, you know, being willing to just, you know, be a little bit crazy and have fun. I, for some reason, asked for my 50th birthday, which was a few years ago, to get a scooter. I asked my husband for a little motor scooter.
And like a moped.
Like a moped, like 50 cc's, top nice. Speed, 35 miles an hour, maybe 45 if I was going down a big enough hill.
I'm not allowed to have one of those. Oh. I'm jealous.
I know, I'm jealous too, and I have one. So my husband found this coolest pop art flowered scooter that I ended up riding down to Atlanta, Georgia for a road trip, but that's nice. A whole other story. But what was so cool about the scooter and so inspiring about it was that when I would ride it, and when I do ride it, people honk their horns and I see kids in the backseat jumping up and down, you know, waving at me. And I do, I feel like a little kid when I'm on it. And, you know, I think I think we're all kids. I remember my grandmother at heart, my grandmother saying to me when she had gotten older, you know, you don't change on the inside. I look in the mirror, I look different, but in the inside, I still feel the same. And the older that I get, the more I understand what she was saying. And I think that we all have that youthful spirit. And what happens is it's either, you know, gone underground because we've covered it up so much. So we can still play like we were kids. All we have to do is gain access.
Even while we're being a responsible adult.
That's right.
Which is no fun at all.
No fun at all.
This is convenient for me because when I was a child, I found joy in balancing my checkbook.
Right, exactly.
She's scary.
Very.
But it's an interesting concept that here, this is what it is for me. If I take away the responsible adult and I'm just...
Why do you say that like that?
Because that's what it feels like on the inside versus like a playful child. If I let myself be a playful child, I can have fun. But how will people look at me? Will I be taken as seriously? Can I still be a businesswoman and be playful? Right. Will I look too flirtatious and will that be incorrect?
So you're conscious of it.
Right. Like who do I have to be? And I think that's what happens as we get older. We don't care as much.
No.
You know, and I think that's it's a beautiful biological timeline that as we get into our 50s, say, we start to have grandchildren and then we have this reason to play again. Why not, you know, when our 40s, when my kids are teenagers and they don't have toys anymore, but I can still be playful with them. I think the other thing to bring up is play does not mean coloring necessarily. It could just mean a playful spirit.
Having fun.
Being in the moment, having fun, joking, not necessarily at someone's expense, but...
Sometimes
playful.
That's fun too.
Most of the time it is.
And it doesn't mean being irresponsible either.
Right.
You know, and I think you're right when you bring that up, that people confuse that being playful means that somehow they're not being diligent or living up to their responsibilities. So I think, I know for me, what is useful is the awareness and paying attention to how you feel. This goes back to what I was saying earlier, because really at the crux of having an enjoyable life is to experience it feeling comfortable, to feel good. And we know we have those moments. I know I have recently, being on the phone with customer service, you can name whatever, you know, company you're dealing with, and we start to feel that stress or that impatience. And when we can watch ourselves and have the awareness of that and then just sort of check ourselves and say, what would be, you know, why couldn't we have the same conversation and do it in an easy manner and do it in a playful manner and do it in a light manner? And we always have that choice, but the choice can't be exercised without the awareness that we can do it. So having that awareness, being able to watch yourself, watch how you act, watch when you're being really serious, and pay attention to how you feel. Gee, I feel really, you know, constricted, or I feel really tight. What's going on? What can I do to change this?
I think a good transition into learning that about yourself is surrounding yourself with playful people, or people that for some reason, when you're around each other, you can get playful. Emily is one of those people for me. I mean, Emily and I went to lunch before coming here, knowing we were about to talk about play, and the spirit of that, we had the most fun time talking to our waiter and laughing and just experiencing just a 2-hour lunch of just, it was completely fun. And I find that happens when I'm with Emily. So guess who I want to be around?
Emily.
Until absolutely. I started a food fight.
Yeah, she took it to the next level.
As I do.
Yes.
I want to close with two thoughts. I recently read that the opposite of play is not work. The opposite of play is depression. And I've also read that play is the purest expression of love. So I think one way we can always make ourselves feel better, especially if we're down in the depths or we tend toward depression, is to become more playful. Because again, when you're around someone and you're being playful with them, you're actually expressing love to them.
I think too, what comes up for me when you say that is the idea of being willing to be vulnerable, to be open, to put yourself, to take a risk with somebody, and to be vulnerable. I also just want to point out, because when you talk about the opposite of play being depression, that this isn't just a matter of if you play, there'll be benefits. It's a matter of that no play is actually puts us at a high risk for stress-related disease, mental health issues, addiction, and interpersonal violence. And this is according to the National Institute for Play, by the way. There's a whole institute for play, which that's how significant this is. So this isn't just about, oh, well, if I played, I'd feel better. But, you know, this is, if you don't, it could really be harmful.
I remember reading on the Institute's website that when they studied like mass serial killers over the years, one of the most common things that these people had in common was they were deprived of play as a child.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
They grew up in situations where there was no natural play as a child. And so that there was a hardening of their ability to be light or to be playful.
So if you're a person who really needs to give yourself permission to do something fun, know that it's a really important part of your health and well-being. Maybe you can even get a prescription from your doctor, you know, go play 3 times a week.
So guess what I'm ordering this week, guys?
A sandbox.
Close.
PlayStation.
Have it. A 75-foot-long slip and slide for my yard.
Oh.
I'll be over.
With the water.
I know we're going to break something, though.
Oh, it's going to be
awesome. I thought she was going to say submarine sandwich.
You're going to have a party?
Slip and slide. Slip and slide party. You know it. Awesome. You know it. Awesome.
Yeah, I'll be there.
You have a good hill for that, too.
Ooh, I do.
Yeah.
I do. Fun. I want to thank my extremely playful and loving friend, Barbara Landry. You can find her actually at barbaralandry.com, BarbaraLandry.com, to learn more about her amazing work. Thank you for being here, Barbara.
Thank you. I had fun.
Woohoo! Be well, everybody.
You've been listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it. Your host was Dr. Jenny Brook, vitality expert and wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. If you live in the Southern New Hampshire area, schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jenny at 673-5600. That's 673-5600. For more information about Spinal Corrective Center, call 673-5600 or check out www.spinalcorrectivecenter.com. You can also find Dr. Jenny on Facebook at Spinal Corrective Center. Thank you for listening to Raw Talk about Full Potential Living for the health of it.